Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
And if you are one of our Patreon supporters, this is your extended ad-free version of the show. And thank you to some recent new and upgraded patrons, including Craig, Tom, and Raphael, who are amongst those supporting us directly. And for just the price of a cup of coffee or two a month, you can join them, support us directly, get access to our full-length show, listen live, chat with us while we record, and get our Patreon-exclusive show, Extra Message. Find out more at patreon.com/UK Tech. And if you've all been listening very carefully, you'll have, of course, heard in the distance the sound of a beard being scratched and a wide variety of complaints and frustrations being vented into the communal air by a man who, I think it's fair to say, is typically as cross as he is squishy and lovable. My co-host Ian Morris, of course. How are you today? You weren't well last week.
I'm all right. Yeah, no, I'm still getting over the maladies. But yeah, I'm better. Thanks.
How's the foot?
Well,
Has it healed?
I wouldn't say healed. No, it's that's an ongoing investigation. That right there needs a. I've had an X-ray. I haven't heard anything back from them.
Well, I do wish your the lower half of your body well, and of course the top half equally well. I think we're going to jump into some news because that's what the ladies and gentlemen are here to hear. Before we jump into the main news story, I did want to note something that caught me by surprise. Normally, we talk about prices for things and stuff and things going up. But this week, if you're in the UK, you may have noticed one thing going down. That is specifically the prices of apps in Apple's store. It has dropped the price for apps and in-app payments in the UK as a result, it says, of tax and exchange rate reasons. To give you an example of this, I noticed this week that a in-app bundle of virtual stuff and things in one of the games I play that was £10 now costs £9. So that's a 10% drop there. And I did notice on, I tried to find out some of the reasons for this, and on my Bloomberg terminal, which is to name drop my corporate employer, the pound has become the best performing G10 currency in the year to date, up 1.48% against the US dollar, trading at £1.39 to the US currency. That is the most Bloomberg thing I've ever said on this a non-Bloomberg podcast, but it is very relevant. So maybe
I noticed you did call it called it Bloomberg Terminal rather than the Bloomberg, as they insist on calling it.
Well, it's actually called the Bloomberg Professional Service.
Oh, really?
But of course, it is the terminal. Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to note that because it's very rare these days that we get to hear a story of prices going down. Often, if they could go down, they do not. Because why would you, once people have gotten used to paying what it was before? So I thought I'd note that. I think it's gone down in South Africa, possibly some other countries in Europe. But the big one for me to notice was, of course, the UK. So
well, I guess that's encouraging. At least it is possible for things to get cheaper rather than just constantly get more expensive.
Yes. Well, let's move into our first actual big bit of news. UK adults spent nearly a third of their waking hours watching TV and online video content last year. This is according to a new report from Ofcom. Second week in a row, Ofcom reports have got a mention, and it has been a slow news week because basically everyone's out rambling or in beer gardens or having holidays because it's August. But the BBC wrote this up and said that screen time, spurred obviously by pandemic lockdowns, was a daily average of 5 hours and 40 minutes. That's up 47 minutes on the previous year. And for the very first time, and I think this is burying the lead a little bit, more UK households had Netflix subscriptions than a paid TV account, such as with Virgin or Sky. cable or satellite. That's the very first time. So Netflix is now apparently more of a draw than Sky and Virgin, for TV at least. And, continues the Beeb, nearly 80% of households now have their TVs connected to the internet via smart TVs or similar.
That's no quite surprise. A big percentage, really.
Exactly. No surprise that it's big, but 80%, 4 in 5 households are now have internet piped into their telly.
So do you know something? Mm-hmm. This is interesting. I had a conversation with the BBC the other week about iPlayer, and it is. They told me that it was if everyone in the UK decided today that they wanted to just stream TV instead of getting it over the air, there wouldn't be sufficient internet infrastructure to cope with it. But obviously their goal is to get to a point where that is possible, and that where probably streaming will be the only or the main way that people get content.
Well, I feel that with the iPlayer and the internet usage that it causes or requires, I think we've talked about it before, because the ISPs many years ago were very concerned that essentially they weren't going to have capacity and the BBC should fork over some of the license fee to accommodate infrastructure upgrades.
They just wanted more money, didn't they?
At the time, that because the iPlayer was so new and arguably one of the first, if not the first, properly widespread mainstream streaming services, you know, I mean, this goes back to what, 2007, 2008? Mm-hmm. That free TV streaming and catch-up was being made available. Like, the infrastructure wasn't really there. I would have thought it is now, but perhaps it would be if it wasn't for Netflix taking up, like, a third or a quarter, or whatever the figure is, of available bandwidth at any given time, which I think is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the problem for broadband providers these days, is that they couldn't charge the BBC or any, you know, without saying, well, everyone's got to pay. But ultimately, you're paying for bandwidth, right? So they've already been paid.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I agree, it's daft. But it could well be that if they, you know, if Netflix or Amazon or all the streaming services weren't around, then maybe there would be more bandwidth, and maybe then the BBC wouldn't have to.
Well,
maybe
this is a potential solution to some of the BBC's funding. You know, maybe we should tax streaming providers and use that money for the BBC. If people hate the license fee, maybe the solution to that is to tax anyone that streams and use that money for the BBC.
I can see that going down like a sack of hammers on the face of a newborn, Ian, i.e. not well.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is the problem, isn't it? When people get aggro about paying a license fee, and a solution does need to be found, because, you know, it's getting increasingly difficult to sort of decide where the line is on, you know, streaming and all that kind of stuff. And if everyone decides that they, you know, they don't want to use the BBC and they're going to use ITV, then there'll be no money for the BBC, will there?
So, I mean, there's got to be a point where there's just a kind of an optional transition to subscriptions instead of the license fee. Like, you say, well, do you have a license fee?
Though.
No, because I'm subscribed and here's my subscription. It's kind of, it's linked. It's canonically
well,
linked.
Yes, yes, I suppose. But I would say that going towards a subscription model at all is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Because that places you in a position where you go, well, they're doing a subscription already. We just move entirely to that. And then before you know it, all your public service facilities have gone because it's a subscription service and they can't afford it anymore.
True, but I mean, going back to the news story here.
Yeah.
The headline was nearly a third waking hours spent on TV and streaming, Ofcom says, and for the first time more households had a Netflix subscription than a paid TV account. And the reason I'm repeating that is because there is a critical mass, it's gone beyond critical mass at this point, of households that are now used to and clearly happy paying a subscription for TV and it being more important perhaps to them than a cable TV or satellite subscription. So the desire and the market is there to make a subscription work instead of the license fee. Like, it just is.
Here's my concern long term with subscriptions. We are now at the point where there are too many subscriptions and people are, you know, going to have to pick and choose what they want, which is fine. But the whole, you know, the argument about Sky was always, oh, I don't want to pay for rubbish that I'm not watching. You know, I don't want to pay for the shopping channel, which is a fair argument, really, because a lot of the stuff that you get with Sky is very low quality. But at the same time, we're now getting to the point where people are paying perhaps over £100 a month for all their streaming options, depending on what they've got. You know, if you have maybe a Now TV subscription with sport and you've got Netflix and Prime and, you know, a few others, you could easily be spending £100 a month. So how far are people prepared to take that? It's suddenly looking far more expensive to have streaming subscriptions than it is a cable or satellite TV package.
Well, this is a good point to jump into our second story, a second main story, because it's basically an extension of the first one. Paramount yeah. Plus is expanding to the UK next year, as well as across Europe, I believe, in Germany and Italy and a few other countries, because Viacom CBS struck a deal with the aforementioned Sky to launch it here. I first saw this on Engadget. The blog wrote that this deal between Sky and Viacom CBS is going to make the streaming TV service available on Sky's platforms, but in return for Sky extending its carriage of Viacom CBS's pay TV channels, which includes, for example, Comedy Central and a variety of others. So you will have the option of both a direct subscription to Paramount Plus, whether or not you have Sky, of course. But also, if you're a Sky customer, or let's say if you're a Sky Cinema subscriber, you're also going to get Paramount Plus at no extra charge, while other Sky customers will have it as an option to be added to their account.
Now, this is interesting.
I find this very
interesting because, well, for one thing, CBS as a corporation has never been particularly good at dealing with the rest of the world outside of America. What I'm interested in here is the fact that at the moment the rights for a lot of CBS's biggest shows are Star Trek, and they currently rest with Netflix for Discovery and the original series and TNG and all those shows, and Amazon Prime for Picard and Lower Decks, is it called? I think.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I quite like Lower Decks, actually. I mean, some Trekkies seem to hate it, but I thought it was pretty entertaining. But that's an interesting conundrum. Now, will those rights be reverting to Paramount Plus, or will they be retained by Amazon?
Well, I think long term, the idea is to consolidate, and it would be daft not to. A good reference point for this might be South Park, because there was some interesting news. And this week's show, I appreciate, is a little bit media tech heavy as opposed to consumer tech. But I do think it's pretty relevant because we all have, you know, streaming subscriptions. We all like television and movies and things. But there was the news this week that Paramount Plus is going to get 14 South Park movies. Two of which are going to come this year.
Wow.
It's going to be another dozen over the next few years. I think I'm going off the top of my head now. I think it was until 2027 or something.
How are we feeling about their ability to do that? Because I haven't watched South Park for a while. Not because I think it's bad, but I wonder
I feel very good about it because I think South Park is very good. But the way that they're doing it, from what I've read, is that they're kind of doing it in a Marvel way in that the movies will focus on other
the South Park cinematic universe.
Yeah. You know, they'll focus on other aspects of South Park. So they're taking the style, the situation, the characters, but they'll use the movies as a way of expanding in the same way that on Marvel you've got Black Widow and who else have you got? Captain America and Hulk. So you may have a Captain Randy and Captain Cartman or something like that. But without going into the South Park specifics, the reason I think it's relevant to the Paramount story is that South Park, the rights to that, I think, were sold to who bought it was HBO Max, wasn't it? It's Warner.
Oh right. So they had streaming rights in America, did they?
For a period of time, yes. And that agreement still exists. So this new agreement, which is worth best part of $1 billion, I think, would suggest that the idea is to consolidate it all on Paramount Plus at some point.
HBO Max bought the rights for South Park in October, that would have been 2019,
yeah,
for between $500 and $550 million.
Yeah, it's a very, that's very insane, valuable franchise.
Clearly,
you know, I mean, that's up there in the realm of you know, Frasier's and Seinfeld and Friends and The Office and things like that. You know, it's a huge pull, and you know, it's still being commissioned. It's still being renewed by Comedy Central. It's now getting these deals for 14 movies. I mean, we've spent the last 15 years wondering, will South Park ever do another film? And for the longest time, it's been probably not. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to do enough to have released one every year for the period you've all been wondering if we want one. It's kind of like wanting Half-Life 3 for the last 15 years and then suddenly getting Half-Lives 3 through 10, which people do want, as opposed to Avatars 2 through 6.
Well, it was like when they renewed Rick and Morty for bizarrely 7 seasons.
Yeah.
It was like, really? Are you absolutely sure you can do this for 7 seasons?
Apparently, there's demand for it.
Well, there is. But, well, creatively, I wonder.
So we're going to be in this period now probably for quite some time, I would imagine, over the next decade, because there's this enormous shift to not just streaming services, but studios having their own. Obviously, there's Disney, there's Netflix, there's Amazon, but now we're getting what were previously tied mostly to the US, things like HBO and Paramount.
Well, also
launching globally.
The complication with HBO is similar in that the rights for all of those HBO shows are currently with Sky until 2025, but HBO Max or Warner would like to launch in the UK, Italy, Germany, and Ireland, where Sky owns the rights, but can't. So we are going to be waiting a while for all this to be tidied up. But I do find it quite interesting.
Well, funnily enough, I just looked up the countries that Paramount's going to launch to in addition to the UK, and it is, according to Engadget, UK, Austria, Germany, Ireland, Italy, and Switzerland.
Yeah.
So basically all the countries you just mentioned. So perhaps this is the model of making it work.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that they've gone for a deal like this, given that it's Comcast that owns Sky now. I guess it says a lot, I think, about CBS's attitude to the rest of the world. Because why not just launch your own service? It doesn't make any sense to me, but hey-ho.
Well, let's do a review then, tying this all back to tech and subscriptions and subscription fatigue. Let's assume that it'll cost probably between £5 and £10 a month, because that's what all these services are. Disney is relatively low, isn't that like about £7 a month, something like that? It's gone up,
sorry,
hasn't it?
Excuse me.
So got Disney, let's say Disney Plus, close to a tenner.
Yeah, I think it was seven, because I paid 60 something for it for a year before Star launched.
Yeah, I did that too. I locked that in till December this year. So you've got Disney, you've got Netflix, which is quite expensive these days, actually, Netflix. You've got Amazon, which is generally tied in with Prime, so it's a harder one to compare. You've got Apple TV, that's £5, and Apple really, really wants you to get an Apple One subscription, which I do not want, largely because I like Apple
Fitness.
Well, it's
work out. Well, I mean, I've looked at the numbers and it doesn't work for me. It would work if I was had a family subscription. It would be really worthwhile. But for me, as a person just on my own, it doesn't make any sense. I can't make the numbers add up.
It doesn't work for me either, because if I move to Apple One, as every single pop-up notification on my devices seem to think I should, then I would still end up needing to spend an additional £7 a month on iCloud storage, and
yes,
I could get
problem.
That if I get the top tier one, and would save money because I do like Apple Fitness as an idea, but you cannot turn the bloody music off, and I'm sorry, but I do not want to do yoga listening to Drake.
Oh really? You can't turn it off?
No, You can't turn it off. And I'm sorry, but all surely music that people exists. Like is terrible, except for the stuff that I like. So,
well, yes, but also, pointless. Like, you're probably not alone in that. And I wouldn't want to listen to mumbling Drake mumbling on about mumbles either. But why not use some sort of clever AI to match music to the beat, you know, to the workout, and let you pick your own music kind of
thing? I'm sure marketing reasons. You know, because if, probably. Frankly, if you have your eyes open, then right now there's some woman called Olivia something, there's Drake, there's Billie Eilish, there's all these ones that you can't move for these people being in your face, even if you don't follow music publications, which I tend not to. Well, not the ones that most people do anyway. So, you know, I'm sure it's part and parcel with all that. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked
well,
slightly.
I was going to say one more thing about this, and it might be an interesting sort of tangential thing that ties this all back together.
Go on.
It could be that a broadcaster like Sky ends up being the solution to all these problems, because they already have a deal with Netflix where they can include it in your package. They're going to have a deal with Paramount Plus. So what about if Sky went to everyone and said, right, well, we'll do, you know, you give us a small discount for each subscriber we bring on board, and then everyone can just get a package through Sky, so it will keep Sky's monopoly, and everyone will have, you know, the standard subscriptions, but you'll be able to sort of pick and choose and, you know, make it work for you, and you maybe save a few quid, which might tip the balance between it being very expensive and kind of not so prohibitively so. Do you think that could work?
I do. And isn't it funny that that is essentially the model that existed pre-streaming? We just called them different things.
Well, we did. And John in the chat is saying that actually, yes, he did suggest something very similar. And I do agree. There's no real... I don't think a third-party company could ever do it. I think I'd love it if they did, because it would be great if you could sort of... If you think about it, like, you don't need to subscribe to Netflix for a whole year, realistically. You might be able to sort of put all your Netflix shows in a six-month window or a three-month window. And if you could get a piece of artificial intelligence to sort of say, right, okay, so you like this show, and this show, we'll subscribe you to Prime for... 3 months at the beginning of the year, and then you'll get Netflix for 3 months, and, you know, you watch these shows, and it sort of presents them to you as a carousel. So you program in what you want to watch, and then the AI sort of works out the most mathematically sensible way to do that. Of course, none of these companies have APIs that would allow you to do that, and they would never want you to be chopping and changing subscriptions like that. But no. It is a potentially good idea, and it is something that I think that John raises a good point on. It would be of interest to people. You could do it yourself, but the workload would be so immense.
It's very good for consumers, but very bad for investors. This is part of the problem.
It doesn't give you any stability, does it?
No. Subscriptions are such a good deal, and the reason why people push them so hard is because it gives you predictable revenue, which is very, very good if you're a large company. Well, it's good if you're any company, but it's particularly good if you're a large company trying to compete, if you can lock people in.
It enables
so
you
that
to
will
invest
never happen.
In a sensible way, doesn't it? Like, if you're spending hundreds of millions on programming every year, you need to know you've got hundreds of millions coming in to make sure that it's financially viable.
So... I think we solved all of this problem, which is what Ian said, which apparently is what John said, which is pretty much what the industry said pre-streaming, which is we moved to a model where instead of getting, for example, a Sky box and you pick the movies package or the kids package or the entertainment package or whatever it was back in the day, or the everything package that costs you £150 a month and includes sport, it's exactly the same, but instead of calling them channels, we call them providers. And instead of it coming down a cable via, you know, coax or analog, even further back in the day, it's the internet from a server in the US, or, well, edge cached probably around the corner from you, but you know what I mean. It's the same appeal, but we're just calling it different things. Yeah. And then the world will be fine. And then we can all just go back to being, I don't know, what am I saying? I'm literally waving my arms in the air as
like
I speak
flapping
right
around
now.
Like
I'm just flapping around because it's all pointless, isn't it?
It is kind of pointless in a way.
Just listen to podcasts. Thank you. Well, Ian, I think it's only fair, given everything that has happened today to you and I, to the lovely listeners, the ladies and gentlemen, that we check in with one of our favourite people who isn't here with us in person, Mr. Tom Merritt. He's going to tell us what's been happening on DTNS this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, we broke down Apple's plans to scan your devices for child abuse images and whether or not there's a backdoor to encryption involved in that. We also discovered that the U.S. Congress is actually fairly tech-savvy when it comes to cryptocurrency. Surprise! That's because it's about money. Plus, Facebook bans researchers of political ads to protect the privacy of the advertisers, a vulnerability in the Trusted Platform module explained by Seth Rosenblatt, and does dark mode really help your battery life? All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
What a show.
Yeah. Well, that's five shows right there.
Well, yes, true.
Daily. But yeah, the Apple stuff, I did consider talking about that, but yeah. because that is all very specifically US only for now, I felt it wasn't relevant enough for us to talk about given how widely it's been covered. But obviously, if Apple extends that to the UK, then you can rest assured we will have opinions and we will talk about them. But
well,
thank you, Tom.
To generate an opinion first, because it's quite complicated, isn't it?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
It isn't as easy as you think.
That would be putting it mildly. Yeah, that's... yeah. Yeah, all right. Without going down a rabbit hole, yes. But DTNS, DailyTechNewsShow.com. Thank you, Tom. Well, if you have enjoyed this episode, maybe you'd consider backing us, getting access to the full-length version. It's no ads. You can listen live. You get our sister show Extra Message. You get to hang out with some lovely people who listen live with us, which this week include Charlotte, John, Camille, Mike, Nick, Pangolin Sandwich, Kate, Rich, and a lot more besides often. So you can do that. You can support us, and you can become our friend. Patreon.com/UKTech. Or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us, doesn't it, Ian?
It does. It really does. And yes, I suppose we've reached that point in our podcasting career where people have mostly left reviews or don't want to. But you should, if you can.
It really is one of the most helpful ways of supporting this show.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good opportunity for you to pop in some feedback, you know. Give us 5 stars, obviously, but then, you know, put in some things you'd like to change if you want. We're open for that.
It's the podcast support equivalent to scratching your bum when you've still got chili on your hands and finding that you have 1 mini milk in the freezer ready and waiting to soothe that orifice. And I think on that note, it's a time that I shouldn't be in front of the microphone anymore. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week.